Later in the day he sent for me. Ordinarily I wouldn't have come without special reason, but just at present I'm so interested in him that I would gladly make an effort. Besides, I'm glad to have anything to help to pass the time. Harker is out following up clues, and so are Lord Godalming and Quincy. Van Helsing sits in my study poring over the record prepared by the Harkers. He seems to think that by accurate knowledge of all details he will light upon some clue. He doesn't wish to be disturbed in the work without cause. I would have taken him with me to see the patient, only I thought that after his last repulse he might not care to go again. There was also another reason. Renfield might not speak so freely before a third person as when he and I were alone. I found him sitting out in the middle of the floor on his stool, a pose which is generally indicative of some mental energy on his part. When I came in, he said at once, as though the question had been waiting on his lips, "What about souls?" It was evident then that my surmise had been correct. Unconscious cerebration was doing its work even with the lunatic. I determined to have the matter out. "What about them yourself?" I asked. He didn't reply for a moment, but looked all round him, and up and down, as though he expected to find some inspiration for an answer. "I don't want any souls," he said in a feeble, apologetic way. The matter seemed preying on his mind, and so I determined to use it, to be cruel only to be kind. So I said, "You like life, and you want life?" "Oh, yes, but that's all right. You needn't worry about that." "But," I asked, "how are we to get the life without getting the soul also?" This seemed to puzzle him, so I followed it up. "A nice time you'll have sometime when you're flying out there with the souls of thousands of flies and spiders and birds and cats buzzing and twittering and meowing all round you. You've got their lives, you know, and you must put up with their souls." Something seemed to affect his imagination, for he put his fingers to his ears and shut his eyes, screwing them up tightly, just as a small boy does when his face is being soaped. There was something pathetic in it that touched me. It also gave me a lesson, for it seemed that before me was a child, only a child, though the features were worn and the stubble on the jaws was white. It was evident that he was undergoing some process of mental disturbance, and knowing how his past moods had interpreted things seemingly foreign to himself, I thought I would enter into his mind as well as I could, and go with him.